Take your Bibles, please, tonight and turn to John chapter 14. Very familiar verse. I don't know if I've ever heard this passage used in a missions conference before, but I'm going to use it in one, and we'll see how it works out, all right? I want to encourage you tonight. We need to get ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's soon, folks. It's not going to be very long until Jesus returns. Now, we ought to keep working, and we ought to keep praying, and we ought to keep ministering as though the Lord Jesus Christ may tarry his coming for 50, 60, 100 years. But at the same time, we need to be ready that Jesus might come today. This could be the day that Jesus comes. My dad has been a preacher, I'm guessing now more than 60 years. Many years he worked part-time at a church and then went full-time in the ministry at the church. And then in 1974, 75, he went out into evangelism. At first doing the children's work, much like Robin and I did when we first came here and did the children's crusades and so on. And then over the years began to preach at different places. And my dad never really traveled internationally like I do, but he still was very instrumental getting around through the churches here in America and preaching. And in the last probably, I would say, 20 years, my dad has been doing a lot of prophecy conferences and preaching on prophecy and the end times and so on, was very much in demand, and seeing many, many people saved because of that and preaching that way. But in the last few years, my dad has been diagnosed with an illness called pulmonary fibrosis. Some of you might be familiar with that. It's a lung disease. It's basically a hardening of the lungs. My dad was never a smoker. He got saved when he was 6 years old, but he did work for many years as an upholsterer. And we think maybe, the doctors don't know. They say they don't know the cause of the disease, and they say there's no cure. They said maybe during that time, a lot of the stuff, because of the dust and things in the air from doing upholstery work, that maybe he breathed in some things that caused something. And but he's really on his last few days, seriously. And he's bedridden now. He's on full-time oxygen. He has not preached in about 2 years. And he's ready to go home. He talks much about going home. And he says, I still think Jesus is going to come before I go home. And he could. Jesus could come tonight. And that's what we look forward to. John chapter 14. Let's begin reading there at verse 1. This is Jesus now. He's with his disciples. They're in the upper room. It's the Passover time. This is just before Jesus goes to the garden and prays. And then soon he's arrested and taken to Calvary. And he tells his disciples this, let not your heart be troubled. Now, what a greeting, huh? What an encouragement. He said, don't worry. He said, I'm in control. I've got things under control. I'm going to take care of things. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saying unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now the one truth that is evident in this reading tonight, in this scripture here, Jesus was assuring his disciples that one day he would return again. He would come back and receive them unto himself. He was trying to prepare them for the time when he would go to the cross. He knew there would be a time when they would be scattered, they would be scared, they'd be frightened, they wouldn't know what to do, where to go. He knew there would come a time when he would be crucified on the cross and he would be put in the grave, and for several days the disciples would be in hiding. They just would not know how to react. They would not know what they should do at that time. But Jesus wanted to assure them that he was coming again. He would come out of the grave. He would ascend to his Father. And then in some time after that, he would come back to this earth. And he would take all those who received him as Savior. He would take them home to be with him. And he said, I've got a place prepared for you. I'm preparing that place for you. Now, I want you to think of just one thing real quick, all right? It took Jesus 6 days to create the world and everything that's in it. We have a beautiful world, don't we? I've seen some beautiful places around the world. America, I think, is one of the most beautiful countries in all the world. I really believe that, some of the things I've seen here. But I've seen other parts of the world as well. I've seen some of the beauty that God's created, the beautiful mountainscapes and the waterfalls and the oceans and the rivers. And I've seen the beautiful landscapes that God painted with His hand and with His breath. But He did all of that in 6 days. But now, for more than 2,000 years, God's been in heaven preparing you a place. Now, it must be absolutely fantastic. It must be something that our mind cannot even conceive of. It can't even fathom what God has put together for us in that wonderful place. And one day, He's coming back to receive us, and we'll all be there with Him in heaven together. Now, the concept of the imminent return of Christ, that is, that He could return without any further warning or any further notice, is found throughout all of the New Testament. Some people believe that certain prophecies have to be fulfilled before the Lord returns for His church. For instance, they say that the gospel must be preached to every nation before the end comes. But that verse, however, refers to the context of the tribulation time after Jesus has returned for the saints, the return of Christ. And then there'll be a tribulation time, and then God will come in His kingdom, and He'll set up His 1,000-year reign here on the earth. So we need to be ready, because Jesus could come at any moment. There's not one prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. There's not one thing that needs to happen other than Jesus saying, "It's time," and the trumpet sounds, and we ascend to be with Him in glory. Now, when will Jesus do that? Right here in John chapter 14, He said, "I will come again," in verse 3. That's definite. That's positive. That is Him telling us and reassuring us that Jesus will come again. Now, Scripture records that the disciples also wondered when they would see Jesus again. Now, they weren't so much looking for the rapture as such. They didn't really understand the rapture. That didn't come till later, and Paul began to explain a lot of that and what the rapture was. They were really looking for the time when Jesus would come and set up His reign here on the earth. They wanted to know when Jesus was going to set up His kingdom. Look, if you would, in Acts chapter 1 there real quickly. We use this verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 on Sunday morning, but just a few verses before that, in verse 6, the disciples were all together on the mountaintop, the Mount of Olives, and Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven. And the disciples are all excited. Jesus has been back with them now for several days after the resurrection, and they're all excited again, and they're wanting to go do something. And they said, when they therefore were come together, they asked Him, saying, now this is not just one of the disciples, evidently it was several of the disciples asked Him this, "Lord, when wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" And He said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power." And they were confused. They said, "Well, is this the time, Jesus, you're going to set up your reign and you're going to rule over us again?" And Jesus, no. You don't need to know all those things. You don't know the day. You don't know the time. You don't know the year. What you need to do, in the very next verse, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." He said, "Listen, you need to get busy right now. And you need to start telling people about Jesus Christ. Tell them about His death, burial, and resurrection. Make sure they understand the gospel, because one day I will return. And when I come, only those who've accepted Christ will go to be with me again." Although Jesus never gave a specific time of His return, He reassured them that He would come back again. Every time they begin to ask Him about these different things, the end times, He would try to redirect their focus back to that one thing that He had taught them to do, and that's telling others about Jesus Christ. So when will Jesus come again? I don't know the exact day. I don't know the time or the year, but I do know this. He will come again. He made that promise. Look, if you would, please, in 2 Peter chapter 3. This is a great chapter that tells us about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and what we can expect when Jesus comes again. 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll read several verses here. It says there in verse 1, "This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking about or walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What promise is that? His promise to come back. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Peter says, listen, he said, don't be fooled by all these scoffers walking around saying, hey, where is Jesus? He said he was coming back. We haven't seen any promise of his coming. We don't see any evidence that Jesus will ever come back again. He was just a fly-by-night. He was just some prophet of the past, and he made some promise that he cannot fulfill. Where is Jesus, and when will he come back? Peter said, you better be careful. He said, these were the same type of people when Noah was on the earth, and Noah preached for 120 years. And he did everything he could to warn them of the judgment that was coming. He tried to tell them of the waters, the flood that would come. They said, we don't even know what rain is. We've never seen anything like that. What's a flood? Why, Noah, you've got to be crazy. You're off in the head. Noah, you don't know what you're talking about. And they scoffed and they laughed at Noah. But Peter said, listen, what happened? The floods came. The rains came for 40 days and 40 nights. The waters from the deep broke up and flooded the earth. And everything on the earth was flooded. And everyone that was not inside the ark lost their life. Peter said, you better get ready, because Jesus is coming back someday. But it says here, God won't be slack, or God won't be slow in keeping his promise. He'll keep his promise. But it said he's long-suffering. Hey, there's more people that Jesus would like to see saved. There's more countries that we could reach with the gospel. There's more native tongues and that we can translate the scriptures into. There's more people groups that we can preach to and we can reach with the gospel. And Jesus says, I'll just wait. I'll wait. There's more work that can be done. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. If we just had a few more laborers and we could do a little more work and we could get into a few more places and we could preach the gospel to more people, God says, I'll just wait. I'm holding off. I'm just waiting. We say, oh, Lord, please come quickly. This earth is getting unbearable. We can't handle the things that we're facing on this earth and the depravity and the sin that we see all around us and the scoffers that we see all around us. But God says, just wait, just wait. When it's time, when I'm ready, I'll come. And then the time of reaping will be over. The time of winning souls will be done. Only those who receive Christ will be with Jesus in heaven at that moment. My dear friend, I want you to understand, Jesus is coming again. When you and I look forward to his return, we are more likely to have a biblical perspective on life. The scriptural principle is simply this: an eager anticipation of the Lord's return keeps us living productively. The fact that we know that Jesus could come at any minute should keep us living for him and serving him day by day. Now, just basically 2 points tonight, okay? That's pretty good, isn't it? I don't know how long they'll take. We'll see. I've only preached this message a couple times, so we'll see how long it takes. But the first point is simply this: what does this mean to the Christian? What does this mean to the Christian? The fact that you're saved, you've been called of God, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, and you're bound for heaven, you know that. What does it mean to you? Well, number one, it means we should be looking for his coming. We should be looking for his coming. All through the scriptures in the New Testament, we're told to be watching and to be alert and be ready and longing and even praying for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said we are to be on the alert, be on the lookout, for we don't know the day or the hour when Jesus may come. Matthew chapter 25, verse 13 tells us, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You don't know when he's coming, so you need to always be ready. You remember the ten virgins? 5 were wise, and 5 were foolish. The 5 foolish came, but they didn't have enough oil. And so they went to get more oil, and while they left and they weren't ready, Jesus came, the bridegroom came, and the five who were ready had the oil, and they were ready, and they went with the bridegroom. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. Get ready now, because you don't know when Jesus will come. That is, get right with Him. Make sure you know you're saved and on your way to heaven. Make sure you're living for Him, that you're serving Him, telling others of what He can do in their life and how He can change them. Always be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He will return in the twinkling of an eye. Many, I've heard them say, well, when I know that Jesus is coming, well, then I'll take time right then and I'll get right with God. It won't happen that way. It'll be so quick. It'll happen so quickly. You will not have time. The Bible says it's in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Bam, just like that, faster than you can clap your hands. Jesus will be here, Jesus will come, and it'll be too late. It'll catch so many unaware and off guard, they will not be looking at that moment for Jesus to come. In fact, the Bible goes on to tell us that when we're not ready, when we least expect Him, is actually when He'll come. Now, we should live as though He were coming today. In Matthew 24, verse 36, it says, but the day of the Lord, day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. And so according to what Jesus tells us, that Jesus Himself chooses not to know. The Father knows. Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father and says He looks over and He sees the sin and the depravity. He sees the wickedness in this world. And maybe He looks at God and says, Father, is it time? And the Father says, no, just wait. Just wait, not ready yet. And we see again the depravity in the world. We see the wars and the rumors of wars. And we see all the things that are happening. And Jesus says, Lord, Father, is it time? Should I go now? No, son, just wait. Just wait. And at that moment, when God decides, when He knows it's the right time, He'll say, son, go get your bride. And the trumpet will sound and Jesus will come and we'll be raised together with Him in the air someday. We don't know the time, but we should live as though He's coming today. Now, Christ promised a crown for those who are looking for His appearing. For those who are simply just waiting and longing and looking for the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that He has a crown that He wants to give you. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 says this, Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all those who love His appearing. Now, we talked the other night about rewards in heaven. And I want to get some rewards when I get to heaven. There's several that I can receive. I can receive what we maybe would many times call a soul winner's crown. If I'll just tell people about Jesus and give my testimony to try to win people to Christ, I'm going to receive a soul winner's crown. It says nothing there about how many get saved. You're not responsible for someone's soul as far as making them get saved. You can't do that. But you are responsible to tell them. You are responsible to share the gospel. And the Bible says, if you'll do that, I've got a crown that I'm going to give you someday. But then He also says, I've got a crown if you're just looking for Jesus to come back. I mean, you're praying every day, Lord, I want You to return. Lord, is today the day? Lord, help me to live in such a way that I please You and that I honor You and that others see in my life who You are. And Lord, would You come today? Would this be the day? Help me be ready. Help me be available. Help me be looking for Your appearing someday. If you'll do that, Jesus said He's got a crown for you. Now, anybody can win that crown. Any Christian can win that crown if you'll just be looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what does this mean to the Christian? Well, first of all, it means we should be looking for His coming. We should be looking for His coming. Secondly, as a Christian, we should be working till His coming. We should be working till His coming. Every time His disciples, His followers, asked about the second coming, our Lord refocused their attention back on that which He had already told them and taught them what to do. And that is how they should live until His return. And the same thing is true today. I think so many times we get our focus off onto the wrong things. We get our focus on traditions in the church. And we have to do things a certain way. And we have to do it this way and that way. And sometimes what we do is we turn the lost crowd off. Well, I don't want to go to church there. I don't know how to act. I don't know how to dress. I don't know how to live. Now, I think we ought to look right. We ought to do things correctly. We ought to do things in order. But at the same time, we ought to be open to a lost world. who needs to hear of Jesus Christ. We need to do everything we can to reach them and tell them how much we love them and how much we care for them. But sometimes we get so focused on Jesus coming back that we forget there's a world that needs to be saved. Now, I don't think some of these recent men in the past here were really Christians. I think I'm thinking of the name. I think it was Campy, I believe was the name or something. And he predicted that Jesus would come on a certain day. I don't know the whole story of it. I remember it was in the news. I mean, it was big time stuff. He had predicted on a certain day Jesus was going to come back. And people, I mean, they sold their houses. They sold everything they had. Some people went up on mountaintops and just stood there waiting for Jesus to come. There was another fellow who stood in Times Square and stood there for hours and hours and hours. He said, Jesus is coming today. I know it. Brother Campy said it, and I know he's going to come today. And there were others who did similar things to that. And what happened? They got their focus totally off what they should be doing. They got their focus off a world that's dying and going to hell. I tell you what, if I seriously, honestly knew that Jesus would come at the end of the day tomorrow, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be out hitting every door I could. I'd be talking to every person I could talk to. Listen, you got to get right. You got to do it now. Jesus is coming tonight. And if you don't get right with God, you're going to miss out. If you don't get saved, God's going to pass you by. You need to get saved now. That's where we ought to live every day. Talking to everyone we see, everyone we come in contact with, those who God lays on our heart, we ought to be willing to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus could come tonight. And it could be the last opportunity we have to share with them the gospel. When they asked when Israel would be a sovereign state, as we read in Acts chapter 1, Jesus told them it wasn't their place to know. If I can say it in a real nice southern way, he said, it's none of your business at this point, right? I mean, you don't need to know that fact. It doesn't affect anything that you should be doing at this moment. I will come back. I will receive you unto myself. I've got a place prepared for you. I'm going back. I'm going to work on that place and make it beautiful and acceptable for you. But until I return, you're to stay busy in doing the job that I have given you to do. We should worry less about when our Savior will return and concern ourselves more with what He called us to do until that day. Regardless of the timing of Christ's return, every believer should be actively serving the Lord somewhere, somehow. We never retire from working for God. We never get too old, or we never get too feeble to do something for the Lord. I'll give you just one quick example. I told you my dad was so sick. He's basically been bedridden for about the last, I guess it's been 4 or 5 months now, maybe longer. He would, before this, he would actually get up every day. When COVID came, he was preaching right up to the time COVID came, about March 2020. And they told him, if you get COVID, you're dead. You're done. There's no way you could survive COVID. So he pretty much stayed at home, but he would get up every day. He would get dressed and go into his den or living room area there, and he would sit and he would pray and read his Bible and watch some news and so on, and a lot of sports. He loved sports, and he'd watch that. And so if you'd go to his home, you'd find him there. And then one day I went by and he was still in bed. I'd never seen him that way, but I always knew him to get up early and get going, but he was still in bed. And I went a few days later and he was still in bed. And I said, have you gotten up the last couple of days? He says, no. He said, I just don't have the energy to do it. And there's only been a few rare occasions since about October of last year that he's actually gotten out of bed and went in and sat in the living room. But most days now, he's simply in bed. He's in oxygen. Well, he was actually diagnosed with this disease, I believe, back in 2010, if I'm getting my dates correct. So he's had the disease for 11 or 12 years. When he was diagnosed with the disease, they told him that most people die within 3 to 5 years after being diagnosed with this disease. And they could tell from x-rays of his lungs how long he'd had it. So they said probably that's about the time period you have left, about 3 to 5 years. And so he told us, myself and my brother and sister about that. And we expected, sure, that the doctors would be correct and that within a few years he would pass on. But God has been gracious and God has kept him alive and God's kept him busy. And up until, I'd say until 2020, he continued traveling, preaching. And he would get weak in the pulpit sometimes, but he would continue to preach. And he continued to see people saved. And people came to the Lord. Well, now that he's in bed, he can't go anywhere. He doesn't really see anybody. Actually, back in November, we actually got him into hospice care because we were so afraid that at that point he was ready to go. I mean, we thought he was declining so quickly. And they've been able actually to help him and get him back a little more stable. But just in the last month, we've seen a great decline once again. But one of his main doctors that was treating him, I believe it's a doctor that's a Jew, and my dad tried his best to win him to Christ, and he wouldn't listen, but my dad loves the Jewish people. And this doctor called my dad several months ago, I guess it's maybe been about 6 or 7 months ago, before he actually was bedridden. It was after he was already in bed. And said, "Mr. Marshall, I'm sending another doctor. I want her to examine you. We've never had anybody with this disease live this long. We want to know what you're doing and why you're living this long." Of course, my dad said, "Well, we give the glory to the Lord. The Lord did it, you know." So the doctor came. The lady came. She had some trouble getting there, but she finally came. She got there. And my dad began to talk to her, and she examined him and everything. And she just shook her head, and she said, "I just can't believe that you've had this disease this long and you're doing as well as you are." And he said, "Well, I give the glory to God." Well, she said, "What do you mean by that?" And my dad began to witness to her, and after a few minutes, she accepted Christ as Savior. Well, a few weeks ago, she came back, and she brought her daughter with her. And she said, "Tell my daughter what you told me about what Jesus did for you." And he began to tell her, and she also accepted Christ as Savior. My dad can't even get out now, but he's still winning people to Christ. They're coming to him, and he's winning them to Christ. Hey, listen, there's no excuse. We all can do something for the Lord. Hey, listen, the fact that we are saved and we look for Jesus coming in, we should be working till his coming. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 says, "Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." The fact that we have the hope that Jesus is coming again, we have the hope of heaven, we have the hope of eternal life, it ought to stir us to want to tell somebody else and reach them for Christ and share with them what they can also have if they'll put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who believe in Jesus Christ could believe that Jesus could come any day, at any moment, should be ready by telling others of Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to the Christian to be the fact that Jesus is coming in? Well, first of all, we should be looking for his coming. Secondly, we should be working till his coming. Well, then my second point is simply this. What does it mean to the lost? The fact that Jesus could come at any moment. What does it mean to the lost? Well, I think several things. Number one, it means time is short. You don't know when Jesus might come. This could be your last opportunity to accept Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 25:13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now, you could lose your life tonight in a car accident. You could come down with some dreaded disease and lose your life within several days. You could fall, trip, hit your head, and be gone in a few hours. Or Jesus could come. Are you willing to take that gamble? Are you willing to take your life in your own hands and say, "Well, I'll just wait till a more convenient day. I'll wait till another time. I'll wait till I understand that Jesus is coming." No, the time is short. You don't know how long you have. Well, secondly, I want you to understand that now is the time. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Don't put it off another day. Don't put it off another hour. Don't put it off another minute. But come to Jesus Christ while you have that opportunity. Putting off accepting Christ is a dangerous proposition. You don't know when Christ will return. You may die in your sleep. You may die of a heart attack. You may be in a car accident or a work accident. You say, "Well, I'm young and I have a long time and I have plenty of time left in my life." You don't know how long you have. This could be your last opportunity to accept Christ as your Savior. You say, "Well, you're scaring me." No, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm your friend. I'm trying to warn you I'm trying to help you understand that this could be your last opportunity to accept Christ. Now, if a tornado was headed towards your home, and I knocked on your door furiously, and I yelled and screamed, "Hey, hey, there's a tornado coming! There's a tornado coming! Get out, prepare!" Would you? "Oh, no, get away, you're scaring me." "No, I'm not scaring you. I'm warning you of imminent danger that's coming. You need to get ready." And the same thing is true tonight. If you're here and you're without Christ, I'm trying to warn you tonight that this may be your last opportunity. I'm trying to help you understand that Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you and Jesus wants to save you. What you need to do is accept Him as your Savior. The same thing is true with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Luke 12:40, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Boy, when we get comfortable living in this world and things are going well and everything seems to be going our way and we're not having any troubles or difficulties and everything's fine, boy, that's a time when calamity many times comes and strikes. And that's when Jesus said, "I just might come at a time just like that." When you're not ready, you're not looking for Christ to come, that's when I'll appear. Now, I'm not judging you or trying to scare you. I'm simply trying to warn you. If you're not prepared for the coming of Christ, you'll be left behind. You'll be left behind. You'll go through the worst tribulation this world has ever seen. I won't get into all the things tonight, but the Bible tells us after the return of Christ, after the rapture, this world will go through 7 years of awful, terrible tribulation. Think back now over the last couple years of how frightened the world was over this pandemic. Now, certainly it was something that we should try to guard against and something we should fight and something we should try to do our best to alleviate. But during the 7 years of tribulation, there'll come a point when 1/3 of the world's population will die through pandemic and disease. Can you imagine that time? How awful and terrible that will be? We're looking at one of the world's worst calamities to come, those 7 years. And without Christ, you'll be left behind to endure and go through that awful, terrible time. The Bible says in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me and all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Jesus says, I want you to come to me. Jesus' whole ministry on this earth was simply this: come. Come unto me. Come. I'll give you rest. Come, I'll give you salvation. Come, I'll give you new life in Christ. Come, I'll give you a home in heaven. Come unto me, Jesus said. His whole life was about coming to Him, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." Jesus said, "Listen, I'm at your heart's door knocking tonight. Do you know for sure you're saved? If you don't know for sure, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, don't put it off one more minute. Don't put it off one more day. This may be your last opportunity. Jesus is waiting to come into your heart to forgive your sin, to save your soul, and He can do it right now. Pray and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior while you have that opportunity. Will you come to Him? I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus is coming again. John 14, Jesus made it very